Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning on page 1001 and concluding on the next page. We'll read the first 14 verses of Ezekiel 37. There's so many incredible passages in Ezekiel, but this is, if you just imagine what it was like to see it. And Ezekiel does such a wonderful job relating the account to us. We just see the imagery here. And it makes me think of when Jesus spoke to Lazarus and he came forth. Right? God is so powerful that even his word overcomes death. Ezekiel 37, beginning at verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Amen. May God bless this reading and our hearing of his holy word. And as we welcome Mr. Sarid to the pulpit, thank you for coming.
Well, shalom, everybody. Shalom. It is a great honor and a privilege and to be with you. I want to thank the session for giving me this opportunity and this privilege, and thank you so much for your partnership and your stand for the gospel and for your partnership with our ministry, Jews for Jesus. I love to sleep in on Saturdays. I don't know if you can relate, but on this particular Saturday, I woke up and I wasn't sure what woke me up, but I saw that just from looking at the window, it looked way too early, but I wanted to know what time it was. So I picked up my phone and I saw that it was 6:45 a.m. And in my mind, I wanted to go back to sleep, but something strange was happening. My phone, it's almost like it was on fire. I mean, there were thousands of messages, iMessages, WhatsApp messages, all on my phone, and I was like, what is going on? Well, it was October 7th, 2023. And of course, having family in Israel, Dina and I serving in Israel for over 20 years, even though we were in the States, of course, we have a lot of family and friends and, you know, missionaries with Jews for Jesus who serve in the land of Israel. And of course, October 7th, after that horrendous, horrific, evil act by Hamas, started war. And that war continued, of course, for years with the hostages in Gaza. And of course, as we've reached the end of that war with the tragedy all around, just a few months later, recently, of course, we started a new war with Iran and Lebanon and rockets being shot to Israel. And now we have a ceasefire, but who knows how long that would last, right? I certainly don't know. God knows. But that all leads us to a question. How are people in Israel doing? Well, people in Israel are not doing too well. They're depressed, they're desperate, they feel like there are no solutions, like there is no hope. And I don't know what's going on in your own lives, but maybe you feel this way as well. Maybe, even if not in your life, but maybe when you look at the news of what's going on around the world and what's going on in this country, maybe you feel the same way. Maybe you feel like there are no answers, like there are no solutions. You know, morality has departed, and there is so much evil around us. Well, today I want us to see that the Lord, the God of Israel, is in charge. Today I want us to understand and experience how our God is faithful, how He's true, how we can trust Him, how despite the news broadcasts of today, crises all over the world, how despite of the pain and suffering and whatever is going on in our own daily life, how despite all of it, we can trust God for the present, we can trust God for the future, we can trust the Lord. I want us to see this by looking at our passage. Our passage is about Israel. I want us to look at Israel as an example, which I think proves to us how God is indeed trustworthy and how we can rely on Him and on His sovereignty. So that's our plan. Of course, we read together Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. And I want us to take a look today at a crisis that my people, the people of Israel, went through a long time ago, a crisis that I think has direct application to the situation in Israel today. And then I want to bring it all forward and ask, okay, so what? How does that apply to our lives today? So we read Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14, and just a little bit of background to this, to our passage. Ezekiel was taken captive from Israel to Babylon, and he wasn't the only one. The people of Israel were forced to leave their homes and country, and when Babylon came in, you know, Israel, you know, fought, and many died in resistance. And those who were conquered were taken as captives, as hostages. And now in our passage, we find Ezekiel in Babylon, in captivity. And you can imagine that he's desperate and he's longing to go back home to his homeland. Let's take a look at our text as we read it. In our text, God poses a question for us. I think it's a question for all the ages. And God, as we'll see, God answers that question, giving us confidence both now and for the future. We begin our passage with Ezekiel being maybe in his room in Babylon. And the Bible says that the hand of the Lord came on Ezekiel. Now, what does the hand of the creator of the universe feels like? It's nothing like we could probably describe, right? I mean, I imagine the Lord's hand as being heavy and yet comforting and uplifting. The Bible says the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel and brought him up in the spirit of the Lord and set him down in the midst of a valley. Wow, what an experience. Now, was Ezekiel actually physically transported to this valley? Was he taken in a vision? Well, the Bible doesn't say. I imagine Ezekiel just being in his room, you know, and praying, interceding, worshiping Yahweh, worshiping the Lord. And then all of a sudden, God taking him to this valley. You know, kind of like in Star Trek, you know, when you were beamed up and he was placed right there. So I imagine Ezekiel being physically transported, standing in this valley of death, right? A valley that's filled with dry bones, human bones all over Ezekiel, skulls, spines, ribs, hands, feet. What an image. Now, the text says that, the Bible says that Ezekiel is caused to walk through this valley of death. What do you think that Ezekiel is feeling as he's walking? I think that he must have felt a burden for all these peoples whose bones he was stepping on. Maybe as he's walking, maybe the hand of the Lord is feeling heavier and heavier on his heart. Maybe Ezekiel remembered the land that he was forced out of, a land that was now devastated. And devastation is all around Ezekiel. Death surrounds him. All he hears is a deathly silence. Disturbed by the creaking of the bones as he's walking. Later on in our passage, we find that the bones are the whole house of Israel. I have no doubt that Ezekiel understood this. You know, his recent experience of forced exile from the land and all the horrors of death and destruction that accompanied that made this picture of this devastation all the more real to him. And you know, for most of the past 2,000 years, these words could be applied equally well to the situation of my Jewish people. We were scattered around the world, persecuted, slaughtered by crusaders, by pogroms, by Hitler's hordes of Nazis. The bones were very dry. The bones were very dry indeed. Then, all of a sudden, Ezekiel hears a voice, a question. Son of man, can these bones live? Don't you love it when God asks a question in the Bible? What a great question. Son of man, can these bones live? It's a question for all the ages. Can these bones live? Now, the obvious answer is no, right? Can bones live? Absolutely not. Bones are objects with no life in them. The obvious answer is no. The natural answer is no. How can bones live? They can't. The great historian Arnold Toynbee proposed a hypothesis. He said, and I quote, "Any nation which was forcibly expelled from its native land, forced to abandon its native language, would inevitably cease to exist as a unique people." One day, someone asked a esteemed professor how he explained the existence of the Jewish people. "The Jews," Toynbee replied, "are like a fossil floating on the sea of humanity." For Professor Toynbee, there was no logical explanation. Can these bones live? Toynbee said no. What's Ezekiel's answer? Look at the text. Ezekiel's answer is, "God, you know." Now, God's response to Ezekiel's answer is in the form of a command. "Prophesy," God says, "prophesy to these bones, and they shall live." Now, I don't know if you realize this, but here in New Jersey, if they see you speaking to bones, they lock you up in a mental institution. Okay? This is not something that you should do. God commands Ezekiel to do the most foolish thing that he could do. He commands him to speak to the bones. Not just speak to them, but say to them, bones, you're going to live. Bones, you're going to live. You see, from the natural, speaking to bones is foolishness. But the command that God gives Ezekiel is a supernatural one. God calls those things that are not as though they were. And so if you're looking through the lens of your own understanding, all you will see are dry bones. But if you look through the eyes of faith, you will see as God sees. And instead of despair, you will see hope. Instead of death, you will see life. And instead of defeat, you will see victory. You see, Professor Toynbee was wrong. Those who through the ages have said that God had abandoned his people were wrong, because all they saw were dry bones. But God said, speak, speak to the dry bones. So, what's Ezekiel's response to God's command? Look at our text, verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Absolute obedience. Church, can I say that that's what we need? Absolute obedience to God. Ezekiel, I don't know, maybe he felt like a fool talking to bones. I know that I certainly would in his shoes. But nevertheless, it didn't matter. Ezekiel did what the Lord commanded him. He obeyed. He remained faithful. And look at the result. What happens? What happens as Ezekiel prophesies? There is noise, right? There is rattling. The bones came together. Can you imagine this? That's awesome. All the bones coming together. Flesh is coming on the bones, right? Veins, blood, everything is coming on them, and they're turned into humans. That's awesome. Bones came together, were made into humans. And you know, the astounding imagery of Ezekiel's vision is a precursor to the astounding manner of the modern-day miracle that is Israel. You know, if you can go back in time, 100 years ago, 80 years ago, no one would have ever imagined the possibility of a modern state of Israel, a country for Jewish people. No one would have imagined that the prophecies concerning the future of Israel could ever be literally fulfilled. All these prophecies here in this book, including Ezekiel 37, no one thought that they could ever be literally fulfilled. There's no way. And yet here I am standing before you as a visible representation of the fact that God has not abandoned his people. I shared my story with you all at ACE. I was born and raised in Israel. Jewish people today are back in Israel. The bones have indeed come together, right? Beginning back in the 1900s, you know, leading climatically up to 1948, 1967, Israel as a nation is back in the land with Jerusalem as its capital. The bones have come together. But there is a problem, isn't there? This is not the end of our passage, right? Look at the rest of the passage. There is a problem, though. Look at the text. The bones don't have breath in them. You know, if somebody ever asks you if there are zombies in the Bible, the answer is yes, there are. This is it, right here, Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel looks out over a vast gathering of lifeless bodies. Zombies, if you will. There is no breath, no spirit, no life. Brothers and sisters, it breaks my heart to tell you that that is the modern day dilemma. Many have wondered how the Jewish people, how my people could be back in the land, yet in unbelief. Ezekiel explains that mystery for us right here in our text. You see, there has been a reconstitution, but there has not been a revival. bodies standing, but spiritually, the Jewish people, for the most part, are dead. And that's what we see in Israel, where we have people who are seeking, searching. And maybe when they're confronted with the gospel and with Jesus, maybe they're interested. But until they accept him, they don't have the breath in them. So many of my people today are agnostics or atheists. They're seculars. They're turned off to religion altogether because they've seen the hypocrisy of the ultra-Orthodox religious Jews, and they want no part of it. Those same Orthodox Jews try to follow the letter of the law, but they don't have the spirit. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. The secular majority, they see the letter, sense the deadness, and walk away. Some walk away into Eastern religions or New Age philosophies, while others embrace materialism and secularism. But there's no life. No life. But there is hope. There is hope. The dry bones won't stay dry forever. And that's what we see in the following section. Look at verses 9 and following. We see here a similar pattern. Again, and we see a foolish command that God gives Ezekiel. This time Ezekiel is told to command to the breath. What's the breath? What is the breath? Well, in Genesis 2:7, we see God breathing the breath of life into Adam. But there is more to the imagery here than just the reference to creation. And both in Ezekiel 37, verses 26 and 27, and also the last verse in our section, verse 14 of Ezekiel 37, we see here that the breath is the Spirit of God. And again, we see that if we look through the natural lens, it may seem foolishness to prophesy to air. But again, the command that God gives Ezekiel is a supernatural command. And what's the prophet's response this time around? Well, once again, we see his faithfulness. We see his obedience. He obeys God's command, and he prophesies. He speaks. He declares truth. And what happens? What happens? The bones come alive. An exceedingly great army. Think with me. What a transformation. We have a valley of death, a valley of dry bones. And now we have a great army, an exceedingly great army. That's a supernatural result. That is the result of the Spirit of God at work. The Spirit of God is at work today. I'm an example of that. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're an example of that. You know, I shared with all of you, my testimony at the ACE hour. And God is moving among people. God is moving among Jewish people, among the people of Israel. That's our heart, isn't it? To make disciples, to see people come into faith. That's my heart. To see my people, the Jewish people, coming to faith. Like the Apostle Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire, prayer to God for Israel, is that they might be saved. Who are the dry bones? The Bible says that the dry bones are the whole house of Israel. Today in Israel, there's about 7.5 million Jewish people who live in Israel, but only an estimate about 10,000 Jewish people who believe in Jesus. In Israel today, 7.5 million Jews, only about 10,000 Jewish people who believe in Jesus. That is less than 0.2%. The Jewish people today are back in the land. The nation has been reconstituted, but there is no life. You know, you can walk through the land, you can see the look in people's eyes, a look of desperation, a look of no hope. Will we ever have peace? They ask from the natural, no way. People say there's no hope. Today in Israel, the same cry that echoed in Ezekiel's day is the words of the majority. Our hope is lost. Our hope is lost. People are desperate. There's this attitude of, hey, listen, we've tried everything, nothing is working, all has failed, we'll never have peace. But brothers and sisters, in Jesus, we know that the only hope for peace was born in the Middle East 2,000 years ago. In the person of Jesus, people can find the hope and the life and the joy that is so sadly missing. And that's our burden, isn't it? We want to see people saved, discipled, sharing the gospel with others. We want to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Amen? So, what does that have to do with you and me? Right, living here in the 21st century in New Jersey. So what? What does this have to do with me and you? Well, what I want you to take home from here, the lesson that I hope that you can see from Ezekiel 37, from this prophecy, is that it serves as a proof for us that God and His Word is true. It proves to us that God is faithful, He's gracious. And when we read something in His Word, that is truth. We know God will keep to His promises. He's a promise keeper. You and I can trust the Lord. Remember what I said before, if you can go back in time 80 years ago, no one would have ever imagined that the prophecies in the Bibles with regarding to the Jewish people could ever be literally fulfilled. There was no way that the Jewish people were ever going to go back and be in Israel. No one thought that that was a possibility 80 years ago, right after the Holocaust. After 6 million Jews were brutally murdered. There was no way. And yet, it did happen. Not only did it happen, our passage describes for us exactly the situation in Israel today, where the Jews are back in the land, yet in unbelief. You see, the Bible isn't only historically accurate book, but it's a supernatural book. What we see in Ezekiel 37 is a proof for us, once again, that God's Word is true, that God's Word, and we can trust it. We can trust God. Ezekiel 37 is a proof to us that God is faithful to fulfill His promises to Israel, to the Jewish people, and to you and to me. So what are God's promises to you? Well, maybe you're going through a tough time. You know, God has made some promises to you, didn't He, in the Bible? In closing, let me give you some of these promises. Well, God is with you. God empowers you with His Spirit. He promised to give you wisdom, to supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God will work all things together for good to those who love Him. I can go on and on with promise after promise after promise, but let me just end with this last one. Maybe I should have started with this one, and that is that God loves you. He loves you. So, what is there to fret about, huh? What is there to be worried about? Let's hold on to God's promises. He is with us. God is faithful. No matter what happens, we can trust the Lord. No matter what happens in the world, no matter what is happening in our lives, He is faithful. His promises that we have in Scriptures will come true. God's Word is true. No matter what happens in our lives or in the world, we can trust the Lord because we know that His Word is true. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for Your Word, God. Father, thank You so much for being faithful and sovereign, Lord God. And whatever is going on in our lives and in the world, Lord God, thank You that we can trust You, Lord Jesus, God. Thank You so much for all that You're doing around us, God, and in our lives, working out Your purposes, Lord God. Father, in the midst of it all, help us to always trust you, God. Father, help us to always hold on to your promises, Lord God, and help us, like Ezekiel, to obey your word, God. Father, help us to make disciples of all nations as you called us to, Father. Lord, I pray your blessings on Calvary here, on the session, on all those who are serving and are leading, God. Thank you so much, Father, for the privilege that we have of worshiping you, of knowing you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen.